All right.
We're now going to skip 15 just for a minute, go to 16, mountain lion hunting season, and we'll go back. 15.
Very good. Chad's coming back up here, Mr. Chair, and I'll have Chad start off leading the discussion. And again, as we visited during break, your desire, Mr. Chairman, as we get to the proposed changes from last year, take one item at a time for discussion purposes. Is that correct?
So that we don't get confused, kind of like we did to ourselves last time. I mean, we're going to talk about the mountain lion plan
later.
This is just the season issue.
This is the season, correct. Okay, very good.
Good afternoon again for those listening. Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator with the department. On page 16, our mountain lion hunting season, just a reminder before we dive into some of the proposed changes here, Mr. Chair, would be the duration of the proposal would be for the upcoming two hunting seasons, so for the 1920 and 2021 hunting seasons. So I guess turning to page 16A, and not for sure how we want to go through these, but the first change there is a change to the season dates, where the season currently starts on December 26th and runs through March 31st, or the season would end if one of the harvest limits are met, either the female harvest limit or the total harvest limit. But the season would end March 31. The recommended or the proposed change there is to change that end date from March 31 to April 30th. So I don't know if we want to have conversations, questions on this as we go through these, or... Okay. Justification for that change, I guess, in looking at where we're at with the mountain lion population estimate, looking at previous harvest results, looking at when snowfall does occur for mountain lion hunters to use fresh snow to hunt lions and whatnot, we feel, given where we're at with the population and the current hunting season structure, we feel that there's an opportunity to provide some hunting opportunity to our hunters during the month of April and not have a negative impact on our current mountain lion population. Recommended change number two is to increase the number of access permits in Custer State Park from 57 to 67. You will see a note down there. There's a department recommendation to, I guess, address my typo when I was typing up the action sheet. That should state 75 instead of 65. This would be to account for the additional boot hunter and dog hunting interval for that added month within Custer State Park. Proposed change number three there is to allow non-resident hunting opportunity and to provide a limited number of 250 non-resident licenses that would be issued through our licensing system as a lottery license. Again, this was a topic that was brought up during our stakeholder group meeting when we were discussing the mountain lion plan revision process about a year and a half or so ago. I'm not going to say there was 100% consensus amongst that group, but I would say there was a strong support for at least having the discussion on allowing non-resident hunters to come into South Dakota and have this unique opportunity. And Commissioner Jensen, I believe you were there present for that meeting that day. So number four is to establish a non-resident license fee associated with that non-resident license. This would be a license fee structure that would be similar to a non-resident deer or antelope license. Proposed change number five, again, there is a current rule put in place outside of the Black Hills Fire Protection District that allows for the use of hounds that originates the hunt on private land. Those hunts can currently now cross over or culminate or end on public lands. Right now in rule, those public lands are specifically restricted to school and public lands and the Bureau of Land Management. The proposed change here would essentially allow hunts with hounds to cross over or end on any public land where unleashed dogs are currently permitted. And we have unleashed in there just to try to address some of the public lands, such as a federal or state park system where hunting is allowed, yet there is some management issues or concerns with hounds or dogs that are not leashed. And the proposed change number 6 on here, Mr. Chair, would be to authorize the commission to extend the hunting season beyond April 30th if the commission or in consultation with the department felt it was warranted to extend the hunting season. You as a commission already have the authority to extend the season beyond March 30th right now. This change is just to reflect the proposed addition of April to the hunting season structure. So with that, I think that summarizes the proposed changes, and Tom and I would sure answer any questions or join the conversation here.
Thank you. So let's take them one at a time. Does anybody have a motion with regard to 1, which would be extending the date to April 30th? Motion to approve or not?
Motion to approve.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So 1 passes. Let's go to 2, which is increasing access permits in Custer State Park from 57 to 75. Is there a motion to approve or? Okay. So it'll be 75 now because it was a typo. Is there a second? Any discussion? Commissioner Sharp.
Mr. Sharp here, just kind of a clarification question. Looking at our success rate, we're moving it up even though our success rate is not very high. I mean, what's kind of driving that, moving it from 57 to 75?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Sharp, so if you would turn to the following pages, 16B, which would be the intervals laid out for the 2020 and 21 hunting seasons, is that correct? Yes, and 16C would be for the year after. It's just to account for those hunting intervals within Custer State Park that would be utilized during that additional month now for the month of April. So.
Okay, thank you.
Any more discussion or questions on the motion to approve number 2? If not, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. So 2 passes. So now we're at 3, which is allowing non-resident hunting and providing 250 non-resident lottery licenses. Motion to approve or not?
Motion to approve for discussion purposes.
Second.
All right. Discussion.
Commissioner Beese, I got to get my train of thought back here, but what's the driving force for adding non-resident licenses? Is it because we're not harvesting enough, or what is the reason?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Bees, I don't think that would be our justification for bringing that forward. I think, and we've had this discussion internally over the years, and probably 3 or 5 years ago, it might have been Secretary Hepler's first year as a commissioner. I can't remember, but we did have this discussion with the commission at a meeting out in Spearfish talking about non-residents, and the commission makeup at the time went through the same process this group is going through right now. I believe it was put out for public comment, and a decision was made at that time. You know what? Maybe right now is just not the best time to bring that the non-residents into the current mountain lion hunting season structure. I guess looking at it internally and looking at it, you know, from the R3 standpoint, and I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, but we did include the non-resident criteria, and there's some R3 stuff included in here regarding this, but I think it just more so comes down to an opportunity to allow non-residents on a very limited basis to come into South Dakota and try to experience a mountain lion hunt within South Dakota. From a revenue standpoint, it's a non-issue. I mean, we're talking a very limited number here, so we're not looking at it from a financial gain, I guess you would say, just more so from an opportunity.
What is the success rate of our lion hunts?
Mr. Chair, success rate is very low. I would say, looking back, it's probably 1.5%. If you look at our boot hunters only, very low.
So if we would be allowing that many non-residents, you're talking maybe one or two lions a year would be harvested by a non-resident?
I would say on average that would be a fair, solid estimate, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
It just came to mind, do we need to say here that non-resident opportunity would not include Custer State Park and hounds, so it would just be out in on the ground, not with hounds?
Mr. Chair, that is correct. If I understand our discussions we had amongst department staff, if you look at Custer State Park right now, it would be limited to residents only, at least right now, or that's the thought process in my mind.
We don't have to add that here? Okay.
Non-residents couldn't use hounds
in the park?
Not within
or
Custer State Park.
Then, really? Okay. Or anywhere?
I don't know if that's a correct statement. Not say you're incorrect, Mr. Chair, but I think
I'm often incorrect.
the allowance for non-residents to come in, they would have an opportunity to use hounds on the prairie.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Phillips.
You know, I view this just as an opportunity to come home to South Dakota and hunt, probably. I mean, we've all got sons or daughters or brothers or somebody that lives out of state that wants to come home and join you on a lion hunt. That one or two lions that they're going to harvest is going to be very insignificant, but we can offer a lot of outdoor recreation to some of these people and give somebody, a college buddy or a son or something, a chance to come home and go hunting with someone in South Dakota. I think it's just an opportunity. It really has nothing to do with maybe the one lion or two lions that they're going to harvest.
Any more discussion? Commissioner Sharp.
I appreciate Commissioner Phillips' comments and I'm kind of torn on this one. The impact is obviously not great, either from an economic standpoint or from a take standpoint. And yet in our past discussions, not too long ago, we just made sure non-residents couldn't take advantage of our deer season, which was actually impactful for our small towns and ranches in northwestern South Dakota. So I'm kind of torn why we encourage non-residents in this area, but we discourage it in deer hunting or waterfowl, just depending upon, you know, really what we're talking about. So I'm kind of torn on if we're going to, you know, invite more non-residents to come in. I think the opportunity to have a big draw for that son or daughter to come home and enjoy the outdoors is probably more likely to occur with a deer hunt, with a duck hunt, than it is with a mountain lion hunt. So
it's true.
If I'm going to use my non-resident vote, I maybe would do it more on the deer or the waterfowl side. So I just don't know if this is the right time to maybe, you know, cross the bridge with bringing in non-resident for the extra hunt in the Black Hills. And just my thoughts.
Tom, sure.
Mr. Chairman, if I may interject here quick, my legal counsel to my right over here was searching through the current administrative rules, and I wanted to make one correction. So as we were talking about Custer State Park and the question of whether if you move forward with non-residents, would those be allowable within Custer State Park? As the administrative rule is right now, if you do not want them in Custer State Park using hounds or boots, we would want to include that as an action as part of your statement to say that.
That's what I was wondering.
If non-residents would be allowed, that they would not be allowed within the Custer State Park opportunities, if that's the direction you want to go.
So we could just add, allow non-resident hunting opportunity and provide 250 non-resident lottery licenses outside Custer State Park. Excluding Custer State Park.
And So the question just came up about on the prairie as well. If you want to, we would have to make the exception for hounds on the, or the use of the hounds out on the prairie right now as well for the non-residents. So it'd be, if that's what you want.
But if we just set aside the whole prairie issue to another day, I mean, we could deal with just Custer State Park today and exclude it from the non-resident participation.
Yes.
Is that, I kind of think that's what you intend, and whoever made the motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Beese here. I think things are getting a little clouded up. Does this have to be acted on today where we can take some time, research, and come back with a proper proposal and we're all informed a little better next meeting? Or does it have to be done today?
So, Mr. Chairman, from the standpoint of the overall hunting season, we do need to act on it from the standpoint of having it finalized to be in place for the upcoming hunting season. If you want more discussion around the non-resident component of it, for example, and bring that back, then that would not be able to be completed, finalized, and go through the rule process to be effective for this upcoming mountain lion hunting season. So if you want to have more discussion about non-resident and bring back and focus some more discussion on that, we can certainly do that. But as a mountain lion hunting season, we do need to take action on to have it in place if we want these other changes for the upcoming mountain lion hunting season. So, I mean, it would be up to you what direction you'd like to go, but we would have to take action on these other things that if you do are amenable to those changes and adjustments to be in place for this upcoming mountain lion hunting season.
So I know we're up against some time deadlines today, so let me just put it this way, not to be unreasonable, but if we want to continue, then we should probably add, excluding Custer State Park, it would probably be, that would get it done. So somebody would need to make that motion, and if that doesn't happen, then we can go elsewhere. But I know we're trying to get through finalizations and a couple other things before 5:30.
Correct.
Do we need a motion to amend it to say excluding Custer State Park?
Yes.
So moved.
All right, there's a motion and a second to amend to add excluding Custer State Park at the end of three. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so now the motion on the table is to allow non-resident hunting and provide 250 non-resident lottery licenses, excluding Custer State Park. Commissioner Sharp.
A question here. When it comes to the mountain lion take, what is the percent of lions took in Custer State Park versus the hills in general?
Yeah, those stats are pretty good.
Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Sharp, in looking at last year's harvest statistics, it was nearly 50% were harvested within Custer State Park compared to the total within the Black Hills. If I'm looking at my statistics correct here in the book.
Bottom of your page there, Commissioner, on 16A, we had 21 harvested during last year's hunting season. If my memory serves me right, it was 8 or 9 lions were harvested within Custer State Park. So as Chad's describing, almost 50% were harvested within Custer State Park.
So by us limiting, through the chair, by us limiting non-resident, if we would approve non-resident, by us limiting their access to Custer State Park, are we thereby kind of taking away 80% of the possibility of a good hunt?
Let me go ahead and answer, and then
Mr. Chairman, and again, keep in mind obviously that the success is higher because of the use of hounds, and obviously outside is boot hunting only, and so that's why that discrepancy is there for the most part.
Commissioner Beese.
Commissioner Beese here. This is another Deerfield Lake issue. Custer State Park's the jewel of South Dakota, and it's for residents. And you go throwing non-residents in there, and we'll be in trouble.
Yeah, but they're out now under this proposal. I guess we could add make non-residents use muzzle loaders or something.
Without scopes.
Secretary Hepler.
Secretary Hepler here. I just want to be sure from the commissioner's viewpoint, I know there's a press of the agenda here, but I do not want that press the agenda to hurry a discussion around non-residents. And from a staff perspective, we put that on a table to hear what the public had to say and what the commissions had to say. It's not going to answer John's concern about, we think there's a slightly increasing population level in the hills on a biological level. It's one or two lions, so it's an issue. But if you want to take your time around that, don't feel like that. I think the only thing we're saying for sure in this list, we need to talk about dogs, but we also need to talk about whether you want to authorize that month. And you already have the ability to do that for us. And so when Tom's talking about that, that's what we need to take home. The non-resident issue, if you want to put that in abeyance and bring that back on the table later, and we can spend some more time or put it back out to get more public comment, whatever you want to do there to be sure you're deliberate in your thought process, we support that 100%. I'm not worried about the 5:30 deadline. We'll make this work one way or the other.
Okay, so let's do it this way. Any more discussion on the motion, which is to approve the 250 excluding Custer State Park? If there's no more discussion, we'll vote. We already passed that. So we're on the motion to approve the amendment, the amended proposal, which is non-residents 250 excluding Custer State Park. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
All right, roll call. Make a difference. No. All right, so then we don't have to address four. We do have to address five, but let's take the easy one first and do number six. Is there a motion to approve six? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor of approving six, which gives the commission the authority to extend the date to what we wanted it to be, April 30th, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so that six passes. So that takes us back to five, and that's the one that allows out on the prairie, hounds need to be started on private ground. Now there's a limit as to what public ground they can go to. This would expand the public ground that hunt can continue on, right? All right, so we need a motion to approve or not that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
You know, a year or so ago or sometime back, we had a lengthy discussion on whether or not the hounds should be allowed to start a hunt on private land and extend onto Forest Service. Now, we've included BLM and we've included school and public lands, but we excluded Forest Service for good reasons at the time. And one of them was because we promised to take a look at it later, but other reasons were that the Forest Service is used by other people for other reasons. I mean, and if these hounds come in there, there could be somebody in there archery hunting, or they could be hikers or picnickers or whatever in there. There was a reason we excluded the Forest Service from this. And I think it's worked just fine the way it is. I like what we've done. A private landowner can call in dogs if there's a lion that's causing problems, start it on his private property. The school and public lands is unmarked. The BLM is unmarked. Excuse me. They can continue on to there. There was a reason we left the Forest Service out before, and I think we should leave it the way it is.
Commissioner Beese, sorry.
Commissioner Beese here. There's already hounds hunting on Forest Service land, and it's for bobcats. So we're already hunting out there. What's the difference if it's this little bigger cat?
Any other questions, comments? We need a motion one way or another. Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. Just a question. How often, when I read something like this, it's like we have all kinds of calls with people out there saying, hey, I've got a mountain lion out on my property. We get the dogs out there. We chase them. We come to the fence, and they've just got to stop. So this is a solution to a perceived problem. And so I'm trying to figure, how often does that happen? Is it once? Is it, I mean, do we have a lot of mountain lions coming out into private land and killing a bunch of animals? Because I know last time we had testimony, it was happening all the time, except that we only had one instance in the last 12 months that it actually happened. So is it once or is it all the time? And so I'm trying to figure out how often this becomes an issue where they can't pursue a cat that's causing problems.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. So Commissioner Sharp, I may ask Regional Supervisor John Canta to chime in here as well, and we'll limit him to the 30-second timer there on the clock as well if we do. But in all seriousness, you know, we don't believe that there are a high volume of calls or ask for assistance in these, more likely in the half dozen range that we're aware of from the standpoint of houndsmen being called in. And John, maybe you can allude or expand a little more.
Hi, John Canta, Regional Supervisor out in Western South Dakota, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Sharp. So yeah, there's not a lot of situations where they're starting that chase on private property and that it's going to end up going on to Forest Service, although I would say that there's a lot of Forest Service property out in Western South Dakota. When you look at the Slim Buttes, the grasslands, both Buffalo Gap and Grand River, there's a lot of opportunity for that to happen, and certainly there has been some chases that couldn't culminate on that Forest Service property, but it's very few.
Yes, Commissioner Sharp.
Follow-up. So in the event of a cat causing a lot of problems for somebody, is there any alternative for the department to go out and allow the dogs to go on to public land to get a problem cat?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Sharp, I don't believe so, other than there may be a possibility through a kill permit from the secretary to allow that to happen, but I'm not certain of that. I think we'd have to check on that.
I can see that happening if there's a cat causing issues and, you know, the dog's chased onto public ground, and I can see that happening, but just allowing it to happen on a regular basis, I don't know if that's totally necessary. Still recognizing the fact that we have dogs in there now, you know, going after bobcats. So just a thought.
You know, isn't it fair, when we addressed this initially 4 years ago or whatever it was, there really was no problem out on the prairie. I mean, somebody had made a couple of calls maybe in the mid-90s of a problem out on the prairie. So I don't ever remember there being a problem described on the prairie with mountain lions that needed something to be addressed. Do you? I mean, maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
Mr. Chairman, so there were some calls that were coming from the Harding County area, the Slim Buttes area, where they believed that a mountain lion was causing issues to them. And so that landowner actually did show up at the commission meeting and spoke to what he felt he was having for issues there. I can tell you from my experience that we do get some calls. We certainly are here ready to address those with our own hounds and sure. Staff. But so there are some that are having issues. The other thing I might add to the conversation is, and going back to what Commissioner Phillips was talking about, one of the reasons that we excluded the Forest Service land back then was simply because it was delineated on the ground. So with BLM and school and public, there's really no signs by and large out there delineating that property. There was in the case of Forest Service. So there was concern that we might have some conflict amongst users, and we could identify that Forest Service property. So that's why we excluded that, but not others.
So I don't remember now whether we have a motion or not. I don't think we do. So we need a motion one way or another on five to expand or not how the hunt can continue once started on private land in the prairie.
Move to deny five.
Second.
Any more discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion to deny this, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
right, so five passes. I think that takes care of Mount. Motion passes. What did I say?
To deny number five.
Oh, motion passes. Sorry. Anyway, so that takes care of mountain lions, right?
So, Mr. Chairman, so when you went through these individually, you voted on them to either retain them as part of the proposal or delete them from the proposal. So I think overall those would have been your amendments. And I believe would you have to take a final vote as amended then? Or since you took them individually, it's fine just handling it that way? Okay,
that's
just want to make sure that...
That's what I intended, but good question.
Okay, just want to make sure that we're covered for that, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so then let's go to 15, which is nothing more than making the coyote hunting season consistent with what we just did to extend mountain lions, right?
Correct.
So is there a motion to approve? Second? Any discussion? If not, all in favor of that motion, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so 15 is approved. That takes us to 17, which is hoop nets and set lines.